We're discussing the verse of second, I believe it's, yeah, I want to make sure, let me make sure I didn't make a mistake here, but our verse, our theme this month is that the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation today, and so I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't look right, but 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Okay, for some reason I thought 1 Corinthians was sounding a little bit better, but you're probably thinking, what are you actually preaching this month, Pastor? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 in the New Living Translation, for the Lord is the Spirit. Thank you for standing for the word. For the Lord is the Spirit, and I mentioned last week, capital S, that's the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray, Father, that as we hear your word, we don't just become hearers, we become doers of your word, Lord, that we find areas that you're speaking to us and that we would apply it to our life, apply it in prayer, and then apply it into our daily lives, Lord, so that we do not deceive ourselves. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so the Lord Jesus has given us this kind of freedom. I like that. It's a little colorful there, but for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, this freedom that he gives us, as I mentioned last week, it's not one that is bound by earthly dimensions. When I say earthly dimensions, I'm talking about how situations or circumstances in our life, this freedom that Jesus provides, nothing in this world, no experience or no circumstances that you're going through, nothing physical or earthly can stop this freedom that Jesus gives. You see, this liberty that he gives us, it's kind of similar to the peace that he provides. Jesus is the one, I'm not saying it, but Jesus is the one who says that he gives us this peace. It's found in John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home, our abode with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own." Then whose are they? Well, he tells us, "What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is," ready, "Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." Holy Spirit brings it to our remembrance. I've always heard this. Holy Spirit, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit has limitations, but we kind of, if we don't put it in our minds, then he's got nothing to remind us of, right? So we got to put it in our hearts and our minds. We got to read it. And so Holy Spirit brings it back to our remembrance. Verse 27, "I am leaving you with a gift, a peace of mind and heart." How many of you have ever said, "Oh, I'd like to give them a piece of my mind"? I mentioned this before. Quit giving people a piece of your mind. No wonder you're thinking so crazy, because you have less of your mind. Keep it intact. Quit giving the pieces of your mind to other people. But Jesus says that he gives us a gift, a peace of mind and heart. "And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give." Oh, that reminds me of a song, and I'm not going to sing it to you, but "This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't" what? If you know it, take it away. Why? This peace that he gives has no earthly or physical dimensions that can restrict it. This peace that Jesus gives has no expiration date on it. How many of you have ever experienced that? You go to the fridge, you're like, "Ooh, I want that." You look at it and you open it up, there's mold on it, or it's the milk carton, it's got lumps in it. It expired. This peace that Jesus gives us doesn't expire. This liberty that he gives us, whatever circumstance you're in today, the liberty that Jesus provides doesn't, it's not restricted by those earthly or physical things. So I love the fact that his peace doesn't expire. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what the world throws at you. It doesn't matter what seems to be overwhelming in your life. This peace, this freedom that Jesus gives, is not hindered. His peace can remain in every believer whose eye stays on him and on his word. How many of you have fallen because your eye was looked at a circumstance or a situation or a report instead of his word, and you got a little fearful? Anybody? I'm the only one. Okay, about four of us. All right, everybody else is lying. All right, but you know, we've taken our eye off of him. We've taken our eye off of the word, and then all of a sudden, what happens? Fear. We're intimidated. We have this response. I don't know if I can do it. I've had these thoughts many times in ministry. What in the world are you doing? Really, God? You really want me to do? Really, God? You really want me to? You really have me to do this? Yes. And time again, the Holy Spirit will say, yes, that's why you're here. Knucklehead. That's why you're here. That's why God is giving you this ministry. And so I give these cards to you. You go ahead and slide two. And for those of you that are watching online, I hope that the word of the Lord pricks your heart, touches your heart, and leads you to apply God's word. And so I've given everyone this piece of paper. It says, I have the freedom to do dot, 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 dot. Now, there's some pens up here. I forgot, Ezra, Nick, you want to pass out some pens? If you don't have a pen, raise your hand. My helpers are right here. Will bring a pen to you. But sorry, they can't bring a pen to your house. So, but I have the freedom to do dot, dot, dot. Write down what that is. Now, regardless of what, you have the freedom to do whatever. All right, just think about it. I'll give you, 30 seconds or so to go ahead and fill that out. I have the freedom to do. Now, it is so awesome to know that we here in the United States, we have a lot of freedoms. But I was thinking about this. People in third world countries, people in the most dangerous situations, in the most strictest ruled countries, do you know that they may not have a lot of the freedoms that we do, but they have some. They have the freedom to maybe mumble a prayer. They have a freedom to give something away. They have the freedom to hold bitterness or not. They have the freedom to smile. Okay, there are certain countries where if you smile, you're one of the few people that are in that country that smile. A lot of times there are certain countries they don't express, how they feel, or maybe they do. They just don't ever smile because they're always angry or upset. But it doesn't matter what country you're in, whether it's dangerous or the strictest, there is something. There's got to be at least 2 to 5 things that they have the freedom of breathing. That's one good thing there. And so if you write that down, go ahead and just flip it over and just put it to the side, because I'm going to ask you guys to pull that back out and read it again. And we're going to, because I have another question for this. And so you see, for the most part, God has given us this freedom. But these freedoms that we have, I'm not sure what you wrote down, they have consequences, don't they? You have the freedom to do whatever it might be, and there's consequences. There are consequences that, as I was thinking about the word consequence, go to slide 3. The definition, according to Google, says a result or effect of an action or condition. That was plain and simple. And of course, you have consequence, and there's consequences in decisions that you make in your relationships. There's consequences in your results. There's repercussions. There's outcomes. All these words that talk about or have something to do with consequence. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, the New Living Translation, it says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. If you're writing in your Bibles or on your phones or whatever, just reference Romans chapter 8. Talks a lot in verses 4 or 5 to verse 11. That the Spirit that leads you, what does it lead you to do? Okay. God's spirit or the flesh. Verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. All right. So We have this life given to us by God with the freedom to do something. We have been given this life in earthen vessels for what? For just to do anything? We have purpose. God's given each person a purpose. And because of Jesus, we have the freedom to do. And does somebody want to shout out? You could flip your card over. Does somebody want to, you know, volunteer and shout out their answer? Yes, Thomas. To do whatever the Spirit of the Lord leads or tells him to do. Yes, Carter, shout it out. To listen to God. All right, Cameron, go ahead. To love God. All right, yes. To pray. Anybody put something like to put mayonnaise on my peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No? Bananas on my peanut butter and jelly. Anybody ever put bananas on your peanut? Yes, Jimmy. Ah, to do whatever I want to do, but not everything is good. He's right. He's right on. Yes, Melissa.
To Google Scripture
anytime I need to. Yes, that's a good one. Yes, Maria.
To worship God wherever I please.
Yes.
I have the freedom to do my honey-do list.
You have the freedom to do your honey-do list. Yes. I'm going to talk about honey-do list because, you know, we have the freedom to do whatever you wrote down, dot, dot, dot. But we have to take into consideration for what purpose, for what cost. Again, keeping in mind consequences, okay? Let's go to slide 4. We sow, or we reap what we sow. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap something. Okay, well, listen, whenever you plant the seed of bitterness, you'll get bitterness, but you'll also get a little dash of hate or jealousy as well. Somehow hate or jealousy comes along with bitterness. Listen, I thought about this. When you plant a seed of any kind, you will also see something else growing called weeds. You have to tend to whatever. Jim, is that right? That's right. Jim's got a garden. You can plant certain things in your garden. But you know what? There's a chance that a couple of, you know, blades of grass or some weeds, a dollar weed might come out or whatever. But you have to tend to that and root it out and take it out. So we have to make sure that when we are planting seed in our lives, it is God's word. And then we'll see spiritual fruit manifest in our lives. If you plant the word of God in your life, not just read it just to read it, but to read it and say, oh, God, no, hold on. Oh, that God, that is good. This is speaking right to me. And you underline it. You might write it down. You might get a sticky note and you might just write that verse and then just put it somewhere in your house to remind you what God said on that day. Allow that word to affect you, not just when you read it, just to read it, but that it affects you. You're planting this word of God, this seed in your life. Spiritual fruit will manifest. There's consequences of what we sow. Something's going to happen in response to that. Now, Paul was addressing this problem in Romans chapter 14. And the problem within the church was criticism. Anybody ever criticize, do any criticism? If you watch sports, you criticize all the time. Oh, I could have caught that. Oh, I could have, you know, you could have, you would have, you should have, whatever, right? And so, but why do you think there was criticism? I kind of throw this in here. There was a lack of joy. Not joy, like one of the fruits of the Spirit, but a lack of J-O-Y, J-O-Y. This is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Putting Jesus first and others before yourself. That's probably why there was some criticism. Thinking you could do it better. But there was some criticism going on here. Imagine what our city streets would look like if all believers followed and applied this. J-O-Y, J-O-Y. This is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. So let's go to Romans chapter 14, verse 10. It says, so why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give us a personal account. Each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Let's stop putting each other down. Let's stop looking as if we can do better than others. Thought I kind of would just elaborate more on that verse 13. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. Brian touched on this morning about what we do. If it will cause a brother or sister to stumble, then don't do it. You have the freedom to do it. Right, Jimmy? You have the freedom to do, but don't do it if it's going to hurt another brother or sister in the Lord, or cause them to stumble, or cause them to do what is their conviction. This is interesting. When you look in the church and you sit around a table and you talk about certain issues and certain things, you find out that other people have different convictions than you. Certain people may not shop at that store. Certain people may not get gas at the Shell gas station for some reason, but they may not stop and get gas. And so Shell gas, I don't know I'm not sure why I'm picking Shell gas, but if you would try to push listen, this is what we do. We push our agenda. Wait, hold up. What is the Spirit saying? Well, don't put it down. Don't criticize other people for what they're doing. If they feel like it's good or it's wrong or it's right, then you just take a step back and say, okay, Lord, you didn't tell me to do that. And don't criticize or put each other down. Verse 19, if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love. If you eat it, don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Thomas, if I can ask you to repeat your answer on that one. I have the freedom to do what the Spirit of the Lord tells me to do. Imagine if every home would follow that. All believers would follow that. We wouldn't have to have someone, and I'm not saying there's criticism going on, but we wouldn't have to see, if all the believers in Rome did that, Paul wouldn't have to cover this situation. But he did. Why? Because there was criticism within the body. Believers of Jesus Christ have this responsibility to maintain unity. We have the freedom to do things, but we need to make sure, what's the cost? What's the risk of doing those things? What's the purpose? What's the point? Is it leading the church body? Is it leading the body of Christ in unity? Is it encouraging or edifying? Or is it criticizing and putting people down? Let us be careful. And let us be careful and let us pursue. This is something that we pray. It's on our church prayer list. This is what we pray. We pray for unity. Unity for the church. Hidden treasures in the church worldwide. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Listen, this is what we ask that the church pray every week. So you pick up a prayer list you pick one up and each week, and then you take it home and you pray during the week. If it's not Tuesday, then you pray during the week. But you agree with us in unity that we will endeavor to be led by the Spirit of God in unity in the bond of peace. You see, when you have people involved with people, there will always be friction, right? Because people are people. We're people. We're fickle. We have our ups and downs. We get up on the right side. We get up on the left side of the bed. And so, but when those people are supposed to be led, like Thomas's answer, led by the Holy Spirit, guess what? There's evidently going to be less friction. Why? Because we're being led by the Spirit. I want to go to verse 11. I'm going to read that again because Paul it's being stated here in verse 11. For the scriptures say, and I thought, well, where does the scripture says this? Isaiah 45:22. This is God's word to his people. And I believe this is still true today. Isaiah 45:22 says, let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God. There is no other. Can I hear an amen? Yes. I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken the truth and I will never go back on my word. Every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to me. The people will declare the Lord is the source of all our righteousness and strength. Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 covers this as well, where it mentions and declares that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is what? or who is Lord, that Jesus is Lord. And so going back to this word consequence, as you look on that little card, that little piece of paper, I have the freedom to do dot, dot, dot. What if this world was without consequence? What if there was no consequence with what you wrote down? Again, I don't know what you wrote down, if it was spiritual or if it was, like I said, you put peanut butter, you put bananas on your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, just something simple like that. What if this world was without consequence? What do you think the world would look like? Just imagine, don't file or pay taxes. No problem. All right. You know, what would the world look like? Just imagine, don't pay for your gas at the pump. No problem. Next time you go to the gas station, there ain't going to be no gas. Just imagine, I have the freedom to drive like a maniac. Well, some people do. But anyway, I have the freedom to drive like a maniac. No problem. But when I thought through this more and more about no consequence, you see, God, you've given us the freedom to do dot, 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 dot. And I know that it is to glorify you. And I know it is to please you. I know it's to follow your word. And I know it's to love others because you first loved us. But what if there was no consequence? And I thought, as I was thinking on this, it was like the Spirit said, then Rick, I wouldn't be there to help you grow the fruit, the much fruit that the Father wants you to bear. See, because when we think of consequences, we kind of think of the wrong things that people do, the unlawful things. But just imagine there was no consequence, then what Jesus did on the cross, you and I would not benefit from it. If what we did had no consequence, what Jesus sowed, we have today the ability to call upon him as Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There is a good consequence to that. There's a good result to that, that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. What's available to us is a relationship with the Heavenly Father, to live in righteous living, to have righteous living in him. And I thought, man, thank God. I mean, because consequences goes both ways. If there was no consequence, then Jesus' death would not benefit you. If Jesus' death wouldn't benefit you, his resurrection wouldn't benefit you either. So when we think about, I have the freedom to do. In the world today, we see people having the freedom, because we live in these great United States, they have the freedom to say, they have the freedom to do, and it may irritate you, it may bother you, but give that to the Lord, because you have the freedom to glorify God. You have the freedom to pray against that. You have the, if it's wickedness, you have the freedom to pray against wickedness. You have the freedom to let the light shine, like Brian was talking about this morning. Let the light of Christ shine brightly from you, out of your words and out of your actions. You have the freedom to do that. While in the midst of so much that's going on, so much turmoil, so much hurt, we have the freedom to glorify him. So I have the freedom to do dot, 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 whatever it was. Say, Father, hold on to it. Say, Father, I want to be able to do what you want me to do. Because bottom line, that's what we're supposed to look at today. We have the liberty to do what the Father wants us to do. Now you can choose what you want to do. But you're going to reap something bad. You're going to reap something that the Father does not want you to reap. I thought about how God allowed certain people in my life to plant things into me and how it affected me. Sometimes people said certain things that really kind of hurt, but it was for a good hurt. It was to get me to think and see things clearly in God, through God's eyes, not just through Rick's eyes. Anybody ever feel like that? You thought you were doing right until someone gave you some criticism, but it was, they used the word constructive criticism. It's to construct something good. It's to help and construct you, to lead you in the right way. See, I want us to go to, let's go back to Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. I want to read that, if you'll put that up on the screen. Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. I'm so thankful that there are consequences. What you sow, you will reap something. And so, thank you, Jesus. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, this is something that we are all responsible. We have this responsibility, how we will live our lives. The fact that Jesus gave us this freedom, it's your responsibility. Parents, it's your responsibility. Children, it's your responsibility that God gives us. That God gives us a life to live, to glorify Him or not. When I thought about the consequences that goes both ways, it's not just something wrong or lawful. All the honeydews, as Jacob mentioned, all the honeydews would go unnoticed. Ouch. All right. Anyway, but we don't live in a world like that, do we? Thank God. Lastly, my last slide. We thank God that because we have this responsibility to live in the freedom to do what glorifies the Father, that we live in this freedom to do what the world needs to see, Jesus in us. Because of Jesus, we are offered this great reward. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:57. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This victory to live this life, this victory that we have freedom to live this life to glorify the Father. And I encourage us that we'll be led by the Spirit of God so that we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, you know, in our life, we'll be able to write that down again, maybe. I don't know, but I have the freedom to do dot, dot, dot. And it'll be kind of according to what Thomas wrote down. To do or to please God, to be led by the Spirit of God, to accomplish the desire and the will of God for my life. We have the freedom to do that, so let's choose to do that. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for this challenging word, Father God, that, Lord, we all have certain desires, and when our attitudes are wrong, I pray a Holy Spirit will check us and check our attitudes, Father, that we, while we have this freedom to do whatever, Father, that we'll choose to do what pleases you. We'll choose to be led by your Holy Spirit so that we would be able to do what you desire us to do. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.